I want to speak to you this afternoon on the topic of it's time to pray with our watch on. I'm going to take my watch off so I can keep it short. It's time to pray with our watch on. I'm not referring to this watch, even though some of us, like this morning we heard Pastor Tim DeLino, we watch our watch while we pray. I'm talking about keeping the eyes of our hearts open to what God wants to do. In the darkest hour of Jesus' ministry here on earth, he calls on his disciples to watch and pray. And my spirit cannot shake that word from my heart that we are in a dark hour. The days are growing darker. It's not because we have to set our clock back in a few weeks. You just turn on the news, you look around you, you see what people are protesting for, what people are fighting for, you see how people are turning against each other. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our Lord is coming soon for his church, for his bride. But I hear the call, not just pray, but watch and pray. I'm going to ask you for your help. Whenever I say, don't just pray, this afternoon, you're going to respond with, watch and pray. Okay, can you do that? Let's try it. Don't just pray.
Watch and pray.
That's good. They're awake, Pastor. Watch for what? I wonder if these disciples would ask themselves, what is he talking about? What is he telling us to watch for? I believe the scriptures speak to us about how we should watch and pray. So let me share with you just five points that I believe will help our prayer life and help us in focusing in what we're to pray for, how we're to pray in this hour. You see, we could be praying without watching, and God is calling us to not just pray, but to. Okay. First, watch his example and watch his walk. Watch the way he does things. Watch the way he went about going about touching other people's lives, and watch his example and follow it. Follow his lead. John 13:15 says, I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. It's like when you're teaching your children, watch, this is the way you do it. And they don't get it right. You say, watch again. Keep your eyes on me. Watch. Watch for his example. Watch for his walk. And this should lead us to a willingness to pray for for grace to abandon our ways of doing things and accept his ways and agree with his ways of doing things. When he spoke these words to his disciples, Peter was like, no way you're going to wash my feet. That's not acceptable here. You're the master. I'm the servant. You shouldn't be washing my feet. But Jesus turned it around and told him, if I've done this, being your master, then you should go and do the same. I've set an example for you. And I believe the example was not just humility, not just bending the knee and putting your garments aside and being a humble servant to one another, but he was speaking something to them. He was saying, look at my life. Look, this is the darkest hour of my life. This is the time where I face the most opposition. This is where all hell is coming loose against me. And this is a time where I'm putting my garments aside. I'm getting up from the supper table. I'm girding my loins. I'm taking up the basin and the water. And I'm bending my knee to serve others. I'm bending my knee to be given for others. Jesus is saying, watch the way I lived my life in the times of opposition where we're tempted to hide, where we're tempted to run, where we're tempted to flee. God is calling us to follow his lead and serve others. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't just pray. Watch and pray. You see, it's in difficulties. It's when opposition comes. It's where confusion sets in and affliction comes in that our tendency is to just protect ourselves. And our tendency shows up in our prayers. And our prayers can become prayers of just, God, hide me. God, protect me. God, have mercy on me. God, make a way for me. God, do this. God, do that. When all along he's saying, okay, you're going through difficulty. What are you going to do through those difficult times? What did I do when I was going through difficult times? I gave my life for others. And I will be glorified as you pour out your heart for others, as you follow my example and as you follow my lead and you just ask God, God, I'm going through suffering, but who else is going through suffering that I can meet their need, that I can show the love and the compassion of Christ, that you can show your love and mercy and your tenderness through this vessel that's going through suffering, that's going through opposition. How can I be of service to your people, Lord? How can I show your love? How can I show your mercy to other people? That's what he's saying. Follow my lead. Watch me. This is the way I walk. When I'm going through suffering, I don't get my feathers ruffled. I reach out to extend my wings and gather someone under the shadow of my wings to protect them from what they may be going through. Somebody came to Jesus and said, Herod's going to kill you. You got to get out of here. In Luke chapter 13, he didn't get his feathers ruffled. He didn't get tied in a knot. He said, tell that fox, I'm going to be serving, and I'm serving right now, and I'm going to continue to serve and give my life for others. And then he turns in the next verses, and he begins to weep over Jerusalem. And he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stoned the prophets, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings? My friends, do you see the picture? He could have said, oh me, oh my, it's not my time. I better leave. I better retreat. It's not my time to go to the cross yet. I have yet to teach and to preach in other cities. But he didn't. He just said, I'm going to serve others. I'm not going to flee. I'm not going to look to protect this person right here. My life is in the hands of my Father, and he knows how to keep me. He knows how to defend me. I don't have to take the sword out of its sheath and start chopping off ears like Peter did in the Garden of Gethsemane. I can trust in the one who says, watch me. Watch the way I give my life for others. Watch the way I'm given, even when I'm facing opposition. Jesus gets the news that his friend Lazarus is sick. And instead of just getting up and going, he waits until Lazarus has died. And he tells his disciples, let's go. Let's go to Judea. Lazarus has died. And they says, Master, are you sure you want to go there? They want to stone you there. This is in John chapter 11. Are you sure you want to go back to Judea? The last time we were there, they picked up stones. They were going to throw them at you. They were going to stone you to death. He begins to share with them, listen, it's daytime. It's time to work. We go as long as God is telling us to go. We go in spite of the dangers, in spite of the threatenings, in spite of the opposition. And Thomas, I don't know. Sometimes we call him Doubting Thomas. I don't know if he was being sarcastic. I don't know exactly the tone of what he said. But he says, okay, guys, let's just go. Let's all die with him, you know? Like, you know, hey, if he's going to die, okay, let's go with him. They quite didn't understand the heart of the master. That in spite of opposition, in spite of threatenings, in spite of what the devil throws your way, in spite of his breathing down your back saying you're not going to make it, you can be poured out vessels. You can be broken bread and poured out wine, because the master who lives in you is the one who gave his life on Calvary. His love is what flows through our lives so that we can be given on the job, even when they threaten to take us down, even when they threaten to put a stop to our preaching and our testimony on the job, even in the neighborhood, even in our families. When people come against us, my friends, even if you know that they're going to attack you, you can still be given to the purposes of God, because he who lives inside of you is greater than he who's in the world. God is on the throne, and he lives inside on the throne of your heart, so we can follow his lead and be a blessing to someone else, even when we face opposition and threatenings. There's so much arguing going on. Political debates. People talking about their ideals for America. My friend, we have to rise. We have to rise above all the bickering and the fighting and the pointing fingers. And we've got to follow the example that Jesus Christ left us. I hope with all my heart that even after these elections and after whoever wins the presidency, Times Square Church will be a serving church. Times Square Church will not be talking about who voted for who, and why did you vote for that person and not the other person, that we would be poured out wine, broken bread, because Jesus set the example. Amen? Amen? We are cut from a different cloth. We're born again into a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. Jesus' blood was given for us that we may be his children and we may follow his example, his walk. So don't just pray. So we pray, God, empower me to do your will. Empower me to forsake my ways of doing things and my thoughts and trust in your thoughts and abandon my ways, and because your ways are higher than mine and your ways are higher than mine. Cause me to walk in your way, Lord. When times get rough, when the road gets rough and uncertainty faces my life, I don't want to just pray. I want to watch and pray. I want to follow your lead. I want to follow your example. So give me a heart, God. Give me a heart for others. Give me a heart for even those that don't agree with the gospel. I want to win them for the sake of Christ. I want to win them over. I want to be such a testimony to their life that there would be no argument that they could bring against me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That they would have to say, truly, the one who lives inside of you is something desirable, and I want him. Praise God. Praise God. Secondly, we want to watch with expectation as we wait. It's like you're looking at something, it looks grim, it looks gloomy, it looks like it's hard to handle, but somebody says, just watch, hang in there. The good part is coming. Watch. Don't miss this. Don't slumber, don't sleep. Stay awake or you'll miss the best part. Has anybody ever spoken that to your life? Watch, 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 watch. Watch what's going to happen. You won't believe your eyes. Romans 8:25 says, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In other words, we don't hope for something we already see, but we hope for something that's not visible, that hasn't come yet. We hope for it. And the word hope is talking about an anticipation, an expectancy rising in our heart so that I could pray with the assurance that something glorious is in the works. I don't want to just pray. I want to pray with expectation as I wait for what God has promised to bring my way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want to pray with hope. I want to pray with my eyes open. God, you know I need you. God, I need you desperately, but I'm keeping my eyes open. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it, but I want to be with my eyes open when you do it. I want to see in your splendor and your might, I want to see you fulfill that which you have promised to my life. I want to keep my heart awake and alert and in expectation. God, I don't know how this election is going to turn out. I don't know who's going to win. I don't know what's going to happen to the church of Jesus Christ. I don't know exactly how things are going to fall into place, but I know my God is on the throne and I know I can wait expectantly. I don't know when revival is going to hit New York City. I don't know how it's going to affect us and how it's going to just play out in our lives daily in our church life. I don't know if there's going to come a day where we can't close the curtain, where it will just be one service after the other, where we can't close the doors and people will be streaming. I don't know how God is going to do it, but I want to keep my eyes open because I know God is going to do something. I don't know how many neighbors I'm going to reach for Christ. I don't know how many coworkers are going to come into the kingdom through my life, but I know God is going to do something through my life and I want to keep my eyes open. So I pray with expectation. I don't just pray, oh me, oh my God, what are you going to do? But I say, God, God, give me a heart to receive it. Give me a heart to accept it when you do it. God, I want to expect your coming. I want to expect your work in my life because I know it's good. What you do is good. I'm remembering a time when I was young. This was before cell phones. I had no ATM card. I needed money desperately. I had taken somebody to the hospital and I put my car in the parking and I didn't even have money to pay for the parking. But I didn't realize it until I got into the emergency room and they were taking care of business in the emergency room. And I'm thinking, oh no, I have no money. I have nobody to call. I don't dare ask these people for help. I'm doing them the favor, taking them to the hospital. And something of faith rose up in my heart, something of faith. I was a young man, but God was just putting faith in my heart. And I knew God was going to answer my prayer. I don't know if somebody has gone through that experience, but I'm encouraging you to watch and pray. I was literally watching and praying. I was praying, God, I need money for the parking. It's not that much. If you give me a few cents, I'll go and remove the car now before it hits the hour mark. You know, you have to pay for the first hour. I don't want to go over the first hour. So God, just a dollar or so, whatever I need. And I'm looking to see if anybody drops some money. I'm watching and praying. I'm saying, God's going to answer somehow. Somebody's going to drop something. And I'm going to say, Jehovah Jireh. I'm telling you. I opened my wallet just for the sake of because I knew I had no money. You know, sometimes you know what you have and you know what you don't have. And I knew I didn't have, but there was money in my wallet. And I said, God, thank you. It was a lesson on watching and praying, keeping my eyes open. It's like God was telling me, I want you to pray like that now. I want you to pray expecting, just not knowing, not dictating to God how he's supposed to do it, but just keeping our eyes open and say, God, I know you're going to do it. I know you're going to do it. Now, some people are praying for a spouse, and some people are praying that God would supply your need, right? I'm not talking about watching and praying and looking, is it him? Is it her? Is it him? I'm not talking about that watching. You can keep your eyes focused on the Lord. But with expectation, I wonder how you're going to do it, God. Maybe it's on a mission trip. Maybe it's in a ministry. Maybe it's in a meeting that we have. And you, maybe it's somebody just came to a fellowship and sat next to you. Maybe God just ordains it through ministry. Maybe you get involved and God begins to supply your need. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just with a heart that's saying, God, I don't just want to pray. I want to watch what you're going to do with expectation in my heart. So don't just pray. Good. Dark days cause us to be tempted into despair and dismay and discouragement. We look at what's around us. We look at what's within us. We look at everything around us and about us, and we're tempted to grow discouraged and disheartened. But God is saying, watch. Can you watch? Hang in there. Don't miss this. I'm working things out. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm doing something, and I don't want you to miss it. Some of you may be looking back to yesteryear when things you thought were better. And he's saying, watch, you ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come. Hang in there. God is going to do something awesome and mighty in your life. And you'll be like Moses standing before the Red Sea, telling the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, watch what God is going to do, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. It's funny because he's encouraging the people to watch, to trust God, watch the salvation, see it. And yet in the next verse, God tells Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell them to march and stretch forth your hand and your rod and just walk through the Red Sea. You see, everyone, even those who encourage others to pray and watch and trust God, come to a point where God is calling them to watch, where God is calling them to behold and to see the salvation. And when he says, Moses, stop crying to me, it's not that God doesn't want to hear your cry. God wants to hear our cry. But he wants there to be an expectation and a faith in our cry. He gave his life for you and I. There's nothing too difficult for our God. You see, we can come with whining prayers to God. We can come and say, oh, God, have mercy on me. Oh, God, don't you see what's happening to our country? Oh, God, don't you see what they're doing on the job? Well, they're harassing me. They're persecuting me. And he's saying, okay, why are you crying out to me again? I told you to watch and pray. Not just to pray, but to watch and pray. Watch what I'm going to do. Get ready. Gird your loins. Put your seatbelt on. I'm ready to take you on a ride. I'm ready to glorify my name in you and through you. Can you watch and see the best is yet to come? Even Mary, the mother of Jesus, says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. It's like she had an expectation in her heart. She knew that whatever he said, it was going to be good. And yet she had a time, a cross of her own, where she had to watch and wait and expect that God was going to bring something glorious out of the tragedy that she was witnessing before her son being taken to the cross. So when difficult times come, don't just pray. Thirdly, watch for the evidence of his word. It's like, watch, you'll see what I told you is going to happen. Watch. I'm going to be able to tell you, I told you so. I told you, watch, just watch. Remember, he told his disciples, they're going to forsake me. Judas, you're going to betray me. Peter, you're going to deny me. Not just once, three times, even before the crow crows. I'm giving you details so that when it happens, you'll know that I told you so. You know that I knew it all and that my word is being fulfilled. In John 16:4, The first part of the verse says, but these things I have told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. In other words, I'm telling you this now so that when it happens, you'll remember and say, God said it. God said it all along. And he was just telling me, watch. Watch for the evidence. Watch. Be alert. It's going to happen. Peter, you're trusting in your own strength. You're going to deny me. And he's telling us, if we try to do this in our own strength, if we try to fight our battles in our own strength, we're going to fall flat on our faces. He told us, he said, apart from me, you can't do nothing. We heard it this morning. We can't even pray as we ought, as we want to, as we should, right? We can't do anything apart from me. He said it, apart from the vine, you can't do nothing. I'm the vine, you are the branches. And when these things began to happen, they were so overwhelmed by their grief that they forgot about watching for the fulfillment of his ways. And the fulfillment of his word. They forgot about it. If they would have remembered, they would have said, wait a minute. If he said I was going to deny him three times, and I did to the letter before the crow, before the alarm clock, the rooster crowed, before morning came, I was going to deny him three times. He didn't say four. He didn't say five. He didn't say three and a half. He said three times. I denied him three times. If Peter would have just reflected and said what he spoke came to pass, he would have remembered they're going to beat me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to rip my beard out. They're going to crucify me. They're going to put me to death. But on the third day, I'm coming back for you. They would have remembered there's hope, there's hope, there's bad news like we heard this morning, but there's good news. Yes, you're going to forsake me, but I've prayed that your faith would fail not, Peter. I've prayed the enemy wants you to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed that your faith would not fail. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's telling us, don't just pray. Watch and pray. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the word. And you'll know that he's fulfilling every promise. Every promise he has spoken to us, he's fulfilling it. I think it was Pastor Wilkerson that used to read his Bible with the newspaper as well open. And he would read the Bible as if it were the newspaper, as if it was his daily bread. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me things of today. And then he would read his newspaper in the light of what he had read in the scriptures. Because the scriptures are as relevant today as the morning paper. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God speaks through his word, and he wants us to watch that he's going to fulfill every promise to us made through his word. Sometimes we get confused because what we see in our circumstance doesn't match up to what we think should happen. The crucifixion and the affliction of the Christ didn't match up to what they thought the Christ should do and should accomplish. They wanted a leader who would just take out the sword and lead a rebellion against Rome. But they saw him chained and whipped and bruised and marred beyond recognition. And it didn't match up to what their idea of salvation and redemption should be. And my friends, sometimes we go through the same thing, through the same heartache, through the same despair, to the same despondency and depression, because what we see in our circumstances doesn't match up to what we think should be the walk of our life and should be what should be happening. God, I've been going to church and look at what I get. I've been tithing and look what's happening to me. God, I've been praying more often and what's going on? And he just says, watch, watch and pray, watch. He says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them through them all. He says, trust in the Lord with thine heart, with their whole heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways and he's going to direct your path. Watch and pray. Amen? So don't just pray. He will deliver us from the enemy. We just have to trust in his word. Remember his word. He spoke it. When we're persecuted, he will make a way where there seems to be no way. When we're delivered up to because of our faith, he will give us words. He says, don't fear, don't worry. The Holy Spirit will give you utterance as to what you're going to speak. So God tells us the afflictions are going to come. He tells us the problems are going to arise, but he also tells us he will be with us through it all. Let's believe in his promises. And let's watch as we pray. Fourthly, we watch as enlisted warriors. We're not on a picnic. We're not on a stroll through this life. We're here to fight the good fight of faith. Listen to me, Church of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We need to pray and we need to be armed for battle. Not just intercession for the nations, not just pray for our loved ones to be saved, not just pray for financial blessing, not just pray that God would make a way and make our life peaceful, but we need to pray that God would prepare us for the fight ahead. God, we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices. We're not ignorant of our own weaknesses and our own frailties and the inclinations of our own flesh. So God, I cry out to you. I want to pray, but I want to be armed for battle. God, you've got to prepare me for what's ahead because I cannot fight this fight on my own. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor," or the full armor of God. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, the weapons that we have are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We have power in God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Peter had to learn that lesson. He took the sword out of his hand, out of his sheath, and Jesus said, put that sword back. You're not going to fight this in your natural strength. You're not going to fight this with your natural ability. This is a fight beyond what you have the ability to do. So you've got to watch and pray. You've got to be on guard because the enemy can seep in to your heart, and you've got to yield your heart to God so that he can clothe you in his righteousness, in his power, in his anointing, so that even when there's a snare of a foul before us and we don't even see it, God can deliver us from that snare of the fowler because we're leaning on him and we're trusting in him to fight these battles. Amen? There's a fight. Surely there's a fight. There's a cause, and many people are taking to this side or to that side or somewhere in between. There's pain. There's violence. There's injustice. Yes, there's poverty. Yes, there's moral decay. Yes, there's lawlessness. But my friends, we're fighting here for the souls of men, women, and children who have no hope outside of Jesus Christ. We're fighting for the glory of God. We're fighting for the honor of our Savior who bled and died so that humanity would not have to spend an eternity without him. We're fighting for the souls of those children who are shooting up drugs at 10 years old, 9 years old. We're fighting for mothers who have lost all hope and are selling their bodies so that they can provide food for the table. We're fighting for the desperate. We're fighting for the hopeless. We're fighting for the lost of this generation. My friends, there's a cause, but let's watch and pray. Let's not just pray for our well-being. God, help me. God, supply for me. Let's be poured out wine. Let's be warriors, and let's fight for the lost. Let's fight for those who have no hope outside of Jesus Christ. And our battles are not won by arguing political points of view. Our battles are not won by taking up a picket sign and marching around the streets. Our battles are won on our knees before the Lord of heaven and earth. That's what makes us armed and dangerous. That's what makes us be able to push back the darkness and light up the kingdom and fight for the souls of men and the glory of God. The enemy can come in subtly. That's why Jesus was saying, watch, be careful. He can come in subtly. He knew the inclinations of his disciples' hearts. He had heard them bickering and fighting for who's the best and who's going to be the first in the kingdom. He knew they were jockeying for position. And he's saying, now's not the time for that. That doesn't represent my children. So be on guard. Be on guard. Church of Jesus Christ, be on guard for voices of strife and contention, voices that want to divide the people of God, voices that want to rise up against authority and rebel against the established authority that God has placed in the house of God. Beware of that. Beware. Beware of things that come into your heart. Wounds and offenses that can fester and become reasons of disgruntled people just speaking things about others. Beware of that. Jesus is saying, watch and pray. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Watch for your own hearts and pray. God, put a guard in my heart. Put a guard in my lips that I would even watch what I speak to others, that it would be nothing but edification for others. I don't want to speak things that would tear people down. So God, keep my eyes open as to even those little things that the enemy wants to infiltrate into my heart and find a foothold in my heart so that I could be a stumbling block in the house of God. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I want to be a building, an agent of edification in the house of God to build my brothers and sisters up. So don't just pray. Watch and pray. And lastly, God is calling us to watch with excitement and wonder. excitement and wonder, not just for what he's gonna do, not just for what he has done, but for who he is. Listen to me, for who he is. Luke 8:25, they're on the boat and Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves, and they stand in wonder and in amazement at who is this man that's with them in the boat. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. My friends, we're just like the disciples so many times. We get so overwhelmed by the storms and by the afflictions of life that we lose sight of who it is that's with us. And we pray. It's not that we're not praying, but we're praying, oh God, have mercy on me. Oh God, won't you wake up? Oh God, don't you see that we perish? Have you ever done that? Have you ever prayed those desperate prayers? Oh God, don't you see that this is not going my way? Oh God, are you ever going to answer me? And he's saying, can you watch? Can you behold me in all my glory and all my splendor? I'm the one who speaks to the winds and they have to obey. I'm the one who speaks to the storm and they have to obey. I'm the one who speaks to demons and they have to bend their knee. I'm the one who frees the captive. I'm the one who calls Lazarus out of the grave. I'm the one who created the universe with just the spoken word of my mouth. I'm the one who called the universe into existence. I'm the one who woke you up this morning. Can you behold me? Can you behold me in all my glory? Can you worship me? Can you come to me and say, God, I'm going through it, but you are good and your mercy endures forever. Oh God, you are so glorious. I worship you. I praise you. I lift you up because you are high and lifted up. It's not us that we lift him up. He's already high and lifted up. When we sing, we lift you up, we lift you higher, it's in our own eyes. We're beginning to realize we need to place him where he belongs. In our own heart, we have him down here somewhere. Like if he's sleeping in the boat, when he's alive and well and on the move in your life and through your life, we can behold him with excitement and wonder. God, you are God. And grab his feet like Mary Magdalene and say, I'm not letting go of you anymore. I'm not taking my eyes off of who you are. I'm not going to focus on my pain and on my present trial, on my chaos, on my confusion, or all the confusion that's all around me. I'm not even going to focus on my failures, my faults, my weaknesses, my inabilities. I'm going to behold you and your glory in all your wonder and your splendor. I'm going to watch you with excitement and wonder. It's what changes us, folks. It's what's going to change you and I as I close. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Beholding the glory of the Lord. Watching him as we pray. We're changed into the same image from glory to glory even by the Spirit of the Lord. So don't just pray. Behold him high and lifted up. My friends, if you're getting tired of people, people are getting on your case. And you say, yeah, I love the Lord, but I don't like people. They're getting under my skin. If you're in ministry, and it's growing harder and harder because you're dealing with people and their issues. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're seeing people and you're seeing their weaknesses and you're seeing what they're made of and you're growing tired of this. It's time to behold him, to look to him, to gaze on him, to watch him in all his splendor and all his array. Let him show up in your prayer time. Let him show up to you as you cry out to him. And my friends, it's going to change the way we see the people. Okay, I believe that, I don't know how theologically correct I may be on this. Pastors, you have the freedom to correct me. But I believe that Jesus showed up on the scene when John the Baptist was baptizing people. Yes, to confirm his ministry. Yes, that all righteousness would be fulfilled, but also to touch John in a way that he needed to be touched so that he could, because he's baptizing. Next, down, out, next. And you know, and he was preaching hard to the people, you know, you brood of vipers, you snakes, you know. He saw the reality of the sinfulness of man, but Jesus shows up. And I believe after he baptizes Jesus, he couldn't see any other person the same way. He'd have to see Jesus in this next sister, Jesus in this next brother. Jesus showed up. And I can't see my brother and my sister the same way when Jesus shows up. So don't just pray. Watch and pray. Could you stand with me this afternoon? If, as the musicians lead us in worship, If your prayer life has been lacking any of these elements, you're praying. But without that expectation, without that spark of hope to know that God is going to bring something glorious your way, you need that touch. Come, and we're going to pray for you. Just come and come to the front. We'll make those of you who are standing, if somebody needs to get by, just let them through. If you're looking at your circumstances more than you're looking at the one who's in control, then it's time to come and watch and pray and say, God, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. If you've forgotten that he's spoken over your life and you've lost hope in that word that he spoke over your life, come and renew yourself and say, God, I want to put my trust and anchor in your word. That you're seated on the throne. You're the King of Kings and you're the Lord of Lords. And if you need that guard in your heart to ward against the enemy of your soul, then come and entrust your life into the one who will fight your battles. We want to cry out this afternoon, just like Bartimaeus cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. I want to see you high and lifted up in control of everything. I don't want my prayers to be bickering prayers. I don't want my prayers to be whining prayers. I don't want my prayers to be selfish prayers. I want my prayers to be watchful prayers. Amen. If that's you, make your way over here and we're going to pray for you. And we're going to believe that God is going to do something. He's going to renew a spark in our hearts that would bring an awareness as we're praying. We're not just shooting words out. We're speaking to the one who holds the universe in the palm of his hand and yet who's as close as a brother. Let's worship. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. God, so much more. You're so much more than enough. God, give us faith to believe it. Give us an expectant heart, God, to pray with eyes open to what you're going to do, with a gratitude in our hearts, knowing that you're going to do something good. God, we want to thank you. We want to thank you. As a church right now, we want to take time to thank you. Thank you that America's not in Republican hands or Democrat hands and liberal hands or conservative hands. America is in your hands for you to do as you please, God. And your pleasure is to see souls saved. So God, however you want to do it, God, we're asking to just be part of it. Take our lives and make us useful in the kingdom of God. Make us fishers of men. You told your disciples, follow me. And God, we want to follow you. We want to keep our eyes on you. And we know you will make us fishers of men. So God, take our lives and let them be consecrated, Lord, to thee, that we may be a fulfillment of your promises to this generation. God, we may be the church once again of Jesus Christ, a church found on our knees doing battle for the souls of men. God, ignite our prayer time. Ignite our prayers, oh God, with faith and expectation, with a willingness to surrender our ways to your ways. Give us a heart there, God, to pray. Give us a heart to pray. We know we can't pray as we are. We know we need strength from you. We know we need your grace to pray and to watch. So, Father, here we are. We came forward and here we are standing with hands raised up, with our hearts raised up in surrender to you. And God, we're asking you to make a difference in our lives, dear God. Turn our lives around. Turn our lives around and make us changers in this generation, life changers, God, in this generation. We thank you for this. We ask forgiveness for keeping our eyes on things that we shouldn't put our eyes on, dear God. And we ask you for the grace to keep our eyes on you, to keep our eyes in your word, dear God, to keep our eyes upon your promises. God, give us grace. Give us grace, dear God. Teach us how to fight the good fight of faith, dear God. And when the enemy seeks to seep in like a snake, dear God, with poison on his lips, dear God, let the word rise up in our hearts. Let the word rise up like a standard to defeat the works of darkness, dear God. Keep us walking in unity and humility all the days of our lives until you come to take us home. And we thank you for this from the bottom of our hearts. Strengthen my brothers and sisters here. Give them testimonies, dear God, experiences of you in prayer, dear God, where they see your hand glorifying your name in them and through them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.